Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 7 over the last few weeks, which says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And we've been looking at this idea of the gentleness that the Apostle Paul says that the members of the body of Christ is supposed to be demonstrating. We looked at how this is an important issue that unfortunately so many individuals really do struggle with, saying that this is how they should actually truly be functioning with each other. The Apostle Paul, as he's saying here, in this demonstration, as he's talking to this assembly of Thessalonica, talks about how this is how they were functioning, he says, among them. You know, that there was a care that he had for these saints and demonstrated this gentleness when he was among them. And when you look at things related to the Apostle Paul, you see how there is a care that he does have for the members of the body of Christ. There's a love that is truly demonstrated going through all of his epistles, dealing with the individuals who are members of the body of Christ. And that love even is there for individuals who he never had met face to face. And we can see that, for example, let's go over into the book of Romans. We're going to turn to Romans chapter number 1. And we'll see what the Apostle Paul is going to say to this assembly of believers here. And here in Romans chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 8. It says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to individuals. He never met these individuals before he wrote this epistle. He's talking about how there's a longing that he had to be with these members of the body of Christ. There was a bond that he knows that he has with these individuals. And that bond that members of the body of Christ have starts with the fact that we all put our trust in the same gospel for our salvation. We've all put our trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Believing in that and that alone for our salvation, that's the starting point that we have. And that's the building block that allows for us to have the relationship that we have with each other, to the point of where Paul can talk about how he has a longing for them. He's praying for them. He knows that there's going to be a comfort that comes from being around these individuals. So when you see how the Apostle Paul, and he's writing back in our text over in 1 Thessalonians, talking to these individuals who he did spend time with, that he had personally ministered to, and he's pointing to the how it was that they were actually among them, and he can point to this fact that they demonstrated this gentleness among them, that they had this care, and then he's going to use the example in our text of how this care is demonstrating. It says, "Even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Now, that word nurse, that's the only time that you're going to read in Paul's epistles that he's going to use this term. Now, you do see over and over again in Paul's epistles him using terms describing things related to family members and the relationship that we have. You know, over and over he uses the term brethren to describe the other members of the body of Christ. He uses the term describing how we're all of the household of faith to understand how it is that the members of the body of Christ do fit together. And here he uses this term, the idea of a nurse, which would actually be making a reference to a nursing mother. So he's using the care that a nursing mother has for her children to demonstrate the gentleness that he was demonstrating among them as he was, you know, in their presence, as he was with them, as he's writing this epistle to them, he's demonstrating this same gentleness. And we know that the idea of, it says, as a nurse cherisheth her children. And that idea of cherisheth is going to be the demonstration of love that is shown. Now, we see how the epistles talk about the idea of love. And I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And when you see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, you see how he deals with some things that you don't see him mentioning in many other of his epistles. You see the Apostle Paul talking about things related to sign gifts and all of these different things that have actually been set aside as the Apostle Paul has completed his ministry here. And I want to start here at verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. It says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now you see the Apostle Paul getting into this discussion about some of these sign gifts that were actually present in this local assembly, talking about how there's going to be a time coming that all of these different things were going to fail, they were going to cease, they were going to fade away. And all of these things were going to happen, as he says, but when that which is perfect is come, so there's something perfect coming, and the things that are in part, which is all of those sign gifts, will be done away when that which is perfect is come. And that idea of what's perfect has been something that has really caused controversy or a struggle for a lot of individuals, because so many people try to put it as that until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that all of these things are still being done and that these sign gifts are still supposed to be present. Now, that's not what the Apostle Paul is actually talking about, because these, as you see here, you can see how there's these, this idea of knowing things. So there's a knowledge that he's making a reference to, and that knowledge is related to the fact of at the time that he was writing his epistle to the Corinthian church here, there, you know, the word of God was not completed. All of the information had not been revealed yet. When the Apostle Paul writes his last epistle, which it was his responsibility, you see in the book of Colossians, to fulfill the word of God, which means to complete the word of God, that which is perfect has come, so we have a completed word of God. And the moment that that happens, all of those things, those sign gifts, are done away with at that point. And with those sign gifts out of the way, you see how he concludes this chapter. He says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So these three things are what are going to be remaining: faith, hope, and charity. Now, when you look at that idea of charity, the meaning behind it is the idea of love being demonstrated in action. That's what the word means. Now, we often use that word in a way of, you know, I donated to charity. And that's how we think of it, and don't really think of it in that idea of that there is actually a demonstration of the love that's supposed to come about, and how that's the greatest of these three things that the Apostle Paul is mentioning. And it's the greatest of those three things because when you compare how the law had functioned under the idea of a fear principle, because if I didn't do the right things, I was going to be struck down or something was going to happen to me as a result of my bad performance, we don't have that in the dispensation of the grace of God. Our motivation is not out of fear, but our motivation to do things is based on the love that's been demonstrated for us as the members of the body of Christ. And we see that demonstration of love written by the Apostle Paul. If we go over to Romans chapter number 5, where we're going to see Paul actually lay out what this demonstration of love actually is. So let's go to Romans chapter number 5. And we're going to start here at verse number 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So you see this issue of that demonstration of this love that comes about, and it comes about with the issue of that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, in the verses that were right before what we had just read here, where he says, I want to read verses 6 and 7 as well, when it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." And then he says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And the issue of what Paul uses in verses 6 and 7 is the demonstration of how, from man's perspective, that individuals would be willing to give their life for someone that they perceive to be good or righteous, and if it's someone that they feel is not doing all the good things that they're supposed to do, then, you know, I'm not going to actually do that. And you see God actually, from the exact opposite viewpoint, when it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the demonstration of love that's been given to us. That while we were yet enemies, we were so far away from God. And the reality of thing is that, you know, with ourselves, we never could actually achieve the righteousness that would be needed to actually earn a place in heaven. The only way that we can have it is by accessing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can access that by the fact that Christ died for us, and thus putting our trust in what he accomplished for us. And that's the love that we see, the love that Paul references throughout his epistles, the love that he sees that gets demonstrated by the members of the body of Christ toward each other as a result of the proper demonstration of the doctrine that's been given to the members of the body of Christ. We have the information that tells us that this is exactly how we are supposed to be functioning in our Christian lives. Now, we see how the Apostle Paul talks about this assembly in Thessalonica. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go to chapter 1. You know, we're going to look at, you know, in a way, how the Apostle Paul had started this epistle to them. And we're going to read verse number 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And you see how, as the Apostle Paul is holding up this local assembly as a pattern for individuals on how it is that they should be functioning, you see the Apostle Paul going back to those things that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about the faith, hope, and charity. And you see the Apostle Paul here in chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians, your work of faith. So there's the faith that he referenced over to the church at Corinth. You see the labor of love, the issue of the charity that they were supposed to be demonstrating, and the patience of hope. So you see all three things that the Apostle Paul said were going to abide are the things that are actually being demonstrated by this local assembly. They took the pattern of what they saw in the Apostle Paul and what they saw in Timothy, what they saw in Silas, realized that this is what they were supposed to be doing, and the Apostle Paul commends them for this and points out, you know, that this is what you're doing, so that way we would have the understanding of what that pattern is supposed to be, because the Apostle Paul identifies himself as a pattern. He tells us also to follow him as he followed Christ. And the only way that we have an understanding of how it is that we're supposed to be doing those things is by looking in the Word of God, having an understanding of the doctrine that's laid out, and then we're able to know that this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We see this issue of love. I want to go over to Galatians chapter number 5. And we're going to look at this discussion that the Apostle Paul has with this assembly in Thessalonica, or in Galatia. And he gets into this whole discussion with them. We're going to look at verse number 16 just to get the idea of what this discussion with this assembly was. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to this assembly in Galatia, is looking at some things from the idea of the practical things of how their life is supposed to be functioning. It talks about how if they're walking in the Spirit, so if they're living that life that they're supposed to be doing, then they would not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, he doesn't say that they are walking in the flesh as so many individuals want to take it, because if an individual could walk in the flesh, they could receive the condemnation that is not part of who we are. You know, so Paul continues on. He lays out exactly what these, you know, works of the flesh, the lust of the flesh actually is. And then he gives the contrast to it in verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter number 5, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So all of those things that the Apostle Paul is laying out here are all part of that one thing that he identifies as being the fruit of the Spirit. And it's one fruit. This is all supposed to be part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And some of those things I know are things that people don't want to have as part of their life. But Paul is very clear that those things are all going to be part of who we are. Now, as he is here and talking about this nurse cherishing her children, you see how this phrase, children, gets used by the Apostle Paul. I want to go over to the book of 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to look at how Paul starts off this epistle here to Timothy. And we're going to read the very first two verses of the epistle here. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you see how Paul refers to Timothy and calls him my own son in the faith. He is identifying him in this manner, demonstrating this care, because for him to be looked at from that manner would be talking about how it was Paul who had brought salvation to him. And by doing that, he could be looked at as, yo, this is my son in the faith. Now, when we look at the idea of edification that comes with the members of the body of Christ, you also see the Apostle Paul talk about this idea of children in a manner that, as he's going to describe this to this assembly, you know, on the surface, it's not going to sound to be too good here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, because it's really going to sound at first like he's really belittling them by the language that he's going to be using here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, because we're going to read here in the first couple verses how he describes these individuals. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And the Apostle Paul, as he writes to this assembly, identifying them as, you know, babes in Christ, talk about how he's feeding them with milk, which means he's giving them the basics of the doctrine that they need to understand in order to have that beginning of growth that they need in their Christian life. And the unfortunate thing for them is that they're still, even as he's writing this to them, when you read in verse 2 again, it says, neither yet now are ye able. It means that even as he's writing to them, they're not in a position to understand the things of the meat of things. He has to keep giving them the things of the milk, which means if they're not able to handle the meat, he's writing to them that the milk is actually 1 Corinthians, because he's still having to give them these very basics that they need in order to have the growth that they need. And it's the same way when you look at the idea of the growth of a child, that a child grows by starting with milk, takes in the milk, grows, gets to the point of where the child is actually able to be nourished by meat. In that same manner, that's the way that he's talking about this assembly in Corinth. And as he's dealing with them, you know, he's giving them the information that he's taking the time to care for them in that manner. And that's where, you know, the things have to be of, you know, when we are dealing with individuals who are members of the body of Christ, there's a gentleness that we have of, we have to give the individuals who need it the milk that they need. But that gentleness also comes about that, And when the individuals get to that point of where they are able to handle the meat, we need to be able to give them the meat of the doctrine so that way they can continue to have the growth that they need. Because if we just keep giving the individual milk, even though they have that understanding, we're no longer caring for them. You know, we're actually hindering the growth that they should have. There's no longer that care and gentleness that should be there. And we always, as we're dealing with individuals, really need to have that care. And we're going to see what, as we continue and start verse number 8 in our next episode, how the Apostle Paul is going to be building on the fact of that gentleness and continue to talk about the demonstration of how it is that individuals are supposed to be living the Christian life. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of, you know, Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook as it's being broadcast. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And depending on who's actually teaching that week, we'll actually either be going through the book of Romans when Pastor Reed is teaching, or when I'm teaching, we're actually going through and looking at some things related to how Peter's epistles, what Peter was teaching to the nation of Israel, and how that contrasts with what Paul wrote to the members of the body of Christ. So, you know, those things are there as well. Now, always remember, if you ever have any questions, comments, but anything in these broadcasts, anything that you ever, you know, read on our website or hear in one of our other messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.